we will fill the earth like water the seas.
True nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Get the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.org.
Just make an utterance in your spirit. Make an utterance from your spirit. Father, we thank you for everything. Lord, we are grateful. Our Father, we thank you. We honor you. We hallow your name. Jesus be magnified and exalted in our midst. In Jesus' name. Once again, I want to welcome us to this time and this moment in His presence. We are looking at 3D plan. How did I call it? Three what? Three-dimensional plan. That's the plan, part two. But before we proceed, I want us to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You see, the life of man is big. Praise the Lord. Are we there in Hebrews 4:12?
For the word of God is living.
Okay, please, hold on. Hebrews 4:12, all right. No, go to the end. Let me see. What did it say at the end? Just read the last word on that scripture. Okay, that all things are naked before Him with whom we have to do. Is that the next verse? Isn't it the same scripture?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Please help me to read it. Thank you.
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to His eyes, of Him to whom we must give account.
Praise the Lord. That translation say to whom we must give account. Then I think King James and some other translations say the one with whom we have to what? Yes. He said the one with whom we have to do. We are called to engage God. That's how big our lives are. It's not just about maybe just things, procedural processes. You see, God is the one with whom we have to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the life of man is big. Your life is big. It's bigger than sometimes the way we fathom it or the way we could ever imagine. We are primarily called to engage God. And that's why faith, we've said it repeatedly, the bigger angle, the bigger side of faith is it engages God. Amen. We use faith to journey in God, to journey towards God, to appropriate God, to lay hold on God, to take hold on God. The Bible says we have been predestinated to be conformed to His image. So many times the life of man is equated to God. It talks about, if you look at Revelation, to him that overcometh. He that overcomes, what I'm going to give you, it's not as if I'm going to give you something. He whoever overcomes will sit with me on my throne, will sit with me right where I'm seated. Praise the Lord. You see how big our life is. So that's how we must expand our vision. Praise the Lord. So if you see, follow up on what we discussed last week, you see, we must expand our vision about life. Our vision and our outlook, you know, our outlook. You see, when you lift up your eyes, what do you see? You told Abraham, look at the stars. I'm going to give you children. But look at the stars, can you number them? No. He said, this is how your descendants are going to be. Just one man. He said, God is big. And God wants our heart to be big. Big, our hearts to be larger than life. It's one thing to live, it's one thing to be bigger than life. So that even when that life is threatened, you see, people were not shaking, they were not threatened. Because they themselves were bigger than life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you can see the background of where we are coming from. You know. And the what is also projected before us. That translation said, him to whom we are going to stand. We are going to stand before God. We are not going to stand before men. We are not going to stand before angels. We are not going to stand before a council. You know, we are going to stand before men. And there's a particular hymn that says, the last stanza of that hymn. What was that popular hymn that drove robed in his righteousness alone, and then to stand faultless before the throne. You know that hymn? Yes. What's that last stanza? Can you remind? Please let me sing the last stanza.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every eye and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Can you see? He said, we are robed in his righteousness. So that means when you stand before God's throne, amen, the garment you are going to be wearing, the robe you are going to be wearing, is the same robe that God is wearing. Praise the Lord. Can you see? It's the same robe. He said, we are dressed in his righteousness. Then you stand faultless before the throne. So many times you read about God's throne, the book of Revelation, all those things, you know, those pictures, those images. We see there that, you know, sometimes I just can't imagine it, that me, David, you know, that when I stand before the throne of God, stand before, you'll be standing faultless. Praise the Lord. You'll be standing the same way God is standing. And if God is seated upon the throne and you are seated upon thrones, either lesser, bigger throne or whatever throne, throne is throne. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you are seated upon the throne, you are seated in the similarity of the same throne that God is seated upon. That's the life of man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then when he talks about, when God talks about giving us, equipping us, you know, when God talks about strengthening our hands and giving us skills and resources, he did not just give us ability. What God gives is the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus came that, you know, of course, Holy Ghost has been coming now, you know, resting and resting upon people. But see, this time I want him to dwell and to tabernacle inside of you. And the Holy Ghost is not just his spirit. Holy Ghost is the spirit that makes God God. Amen. All of the eternal makeup that makes God who he is. And that was the deposit that he wants to drop inside of man. So can you just see the journey? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of the Father. The spirit of a man is a man. If you exactly have my spirit, so if you are to stand and talk to you now, you will say the same thing I'm saying. Just like I'm speaking now on the 3D plan. If you duplicate David, every content within, and he's standing and talking in the Mina, every single word I drop, that is the same word he's going to drop. Because that is the spirit of David. And that is the spirit of God. That's why the Bible tells us that no man knows the deep things of God, but the spirit of God. That, when God wanted to equip man, when God wanted to give man spirit, and that is the spirit that he gave to man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can you see our foundation? Can you see where we are coming from? Praise the Lord. And then can you see where we are journeying to? So, you can carry all of these things and marry it to what we discussed last week. When we were talking about mediocrity, you know. It's an insult, it's a slap on the genius of God and so many other things that were raised. And we say something that in Genesis, that spirit, he said the Holy Ghost was moving. That pre-existing movement before creation, right? We say that was the creative force, Abby. So the Bible says, before God said, let there be light, before God began acting, the Holy Ghost was already moving. I would say that was the creative force that circled around the realm of life. Beyond more than the earth, heaven, everywhere, you know, that the Spirit of God was moving, you know, was moving. And then God began to release word. And then that the same Spirit began to manifest those words that God was speaking. And then God carried that Spirit, that person you saw in Genesis 1-2, before God said, and let there be light, and there was light. That person, God carried that person and packaged him and put it inside of you. Please permit me to use that word. So now tell me, what is going to be the limit of man? The limit to which what man can do. That's when we say that man is part of the creative process. That same Spirit that was moving, that pre-existing movement, you know, the Bible says by His Spirit He garnished the heaven. That same Spirit, God put it and put it as a deposit inside of you. So there is nothing that pertains to your life, that pertains to your destiny, if it is not done. If it is not achieved, then God is not in the equation. God is not to be blamed. Praise the Lord. He said, to whom much is given, what is expected? Much is expected. To whom much is given. So it's not just about maybe you are going to get anointed, you know, fast for 40 days, do one or two words and get anointed. No, you are already anointed the day you receive Christ. That is the Spirit of Christ. All what happens is He trains you to begin to manifest that anointing. To begin to manifest and unveil what is inside. But when you receive Christ, you receive His fullness. Praise the Lord. Yes, at a new birth, everything is inside. When you give birth to a baby, the baby is completely formed in the womb. So when the baby is born, everything is there. What just happened is that those things begin to develop. Are you getting me? After birth, no organ will be formed. Everything is intact. The eyes, the ear, the nose, everything, you know, the reproductive organs, everything is there. What simply happened is that the baby begins to grow, begins to mature. Then all of those things will come out. And the same way it is in this, spiritually, when you receive God, you receive fullness. When you receive Christ, when you are in the faith, you receive fullness. Everything, the fullness of your destiny, everything is intact and is complete. And like the physical baby, the Bible says, grow. Abby, as newborn babies, right? You know, grow, having tasted that the Lord is good. You know, as newborn, that's Peter. Peter 2:2 Eh? Desire the sincere milk of the world so that you may grow thereby having tasted that God is good. So is we not growing who we into who we are, into who we are called to be? Praise the Lord. Then to know the, let me tell us what happened in the life of, I'll just break this down and then speak about what happened in the life of Mary. Read the Genesis 1-2. Just read it for me. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, rest. Okay. You read from verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Praise the Lord. Again, I repeat. He said the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. That was what I wrote down as the pre-existing movement, the Holy Spirit, God's creative ability, God's creative energy, God's creative force, you know, God's creative force, God's methodology to get things done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, I think I've once spoken about it. I don't think any, maybe one or two of us were in that forum there. God's method and man's method. That man's God's method and man's method. God's method, I say, is man to get things done. You know, God uses men, and man's methodology is the Holy Spirit. How to get things done. Amen. It's not procedural, it's not steps, it's the Holy Spirit, but it can lead you to a path. He said the Holy Ghost was moving over the face of the waters. Then I want to bring something out from the life of Mary. You know, look at what happened. He said that a virgin shall conceive. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Then somebody, you put your hand there, open to Matthew chapter 1. If you are in Isaiah 7 verse 12 to 14. Okay, affirm me, you are very fast in opening your Bible. Is it part of what you read in the university?
From verse 14.
Verse 12.
Okay. But Ahaz said, I will not ask her, nor will I test the Lord.
No.
Okay. Ask a sign for yourself and from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depths or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David? Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord said himself, will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, who is in Matthew? I just want to, the author I want to tell you, that's the greatest demonstration of God's power, all through scriptures. There is no higher demonstration of power than that. Greatest demonstration of power. What we are reading now, we read about a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, shall call his name Emmanuel. Go to Matthew chapter 1, from verse, we are going to read from verse 18 up until 23. Okay, please, hold on. Okay.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God with us. Then Joseph,
have you read the place? He said, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. He said, how shall these things be? No, that should be Luke 1:35. I read there, go to Luke 1:35.
And the angel answered.
Okay, yes.
Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now,
okay, so okay, praise the Lord. Now, we saw the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1:2, and then when Mary, God said a virgin is going to bring forth. He said a virgin. And so from that story, I'm persuaded that that brings me to this number 2. You know, with his kind, I will use it to explain it. You know, trees does not need to mate with another tree to bring forth, right? A mango tree will stand and shed forth another mango tree. So God could have made man that way. A man, you don't need another man. You want to give birth. There are even some animals that impregnate themselves per se. If you watch some of those documentaries, they can impregnate themselves and then bring forth. But man is a social, God intended man to be a social being. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's by the way. So he said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then the power of the highest will overshadow you. You see that same spirit you saw in Genesis 1. Even before creation, even before everything was made. That's why your heart must be bigger than the earth if you will ever walk with God. Praise the Lord. You know, listen, he said the Spirit of God was moving. Can you see? The Spirit of God was moving. And when God wanted to give us, he gave us the same Spirit. Even before he said, let there be light, let there be vegetation, let there be animals, let there be, you know, all of the diamonds appears in the earth, all of those things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, you know. You see, that Spirit. The Bible says everything is naked with whom we have to do. So God has man has an existence in God. He has a life in God before creation. That's why the Bible says, according to the grace that has been given up before the foundation of the earth, Jesus was crucified before the world began. Praise the Lord. So the life of man is bigger than the earth. So you must, you know, see beyond the earth if you are going to walk with God. That's why people like Abraham were looking for a city that has eternal foundation, whose architect and maker was God. Amen. They saw beyond the earth. So if we don't streamline our testimony, you know, this thing is somehow, you know, it's just go beyond circle, you know, your testimony just circle within the things of the earth. You cannot advance much with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those things are part of our lives, they are part of our destiny, but the life of man is beyond. He said, told Mary, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and then the power of the highest Do you understand? He said the power of the what? Please, I want you to underline that word. Of the what? He said the power of the highest to overshadow you. And then that which will be conceived inside of you is going to be what? It's going to be called the Son of God. There's no greater demonstration of power in the Bible. Everywhere you see power or you saw God did something, there was nothing greater than that. When the Son of God was born in the womb of Mary, without the input of Mary, because they set Mary aside to conceive, to, you know, her womb became a playing ground, you know, for the Godhead. Because he said the power of God will overshadow you. The word overshadow is going to dominate you. It's going to override you. It's going to override you. It's going to set you aside and then put something inside of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I think I said this here when during your meeting, the last one I attended, that God formed the body of Adam from what? He formed the body of Adam from dust, right? He formed the body of Eve, not from dust, but he took it from what? Adam, right? You see that the capacity that God has. He formed Adam from dust. He was going to form the same body that he formed like in Adam. He took one rib and expanded into a body. And then when God was forming the body of Jesus Christ, he did not form it from dust, not from rib, not from ovary, you know, ovum. You know, his sperm will have to fertilize the ovum, the egg, and all of those things. Then the process will start and bring forth another human being. No, even the flesh of Jesus was not corrupted. Praise the Lord. So he's not come from, what's her name? He's not come from Mary, right? He said the word became flesh. Praise the Lord. So it was the spoken word that was turned into the flesh of Jesus. So he formed the body of Adam from dust, the body of Eve from the rib that he took out of Adam, and then he formed the body, the physical body of Jesus out of the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he said the Holy Ghost will come upon him. Is it not that same spirit in Genesis 1? He said, and then the power of the highest, you know, the highest demonstration and unveiling of power. Yes, you know, there are dimensions in God, but this one is going to come from the eternal realm. This one is going to come from the highest dimension. He said the power of the highest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are going to ascend God, and ascend. He said from the highest, and say that power overshadow you, and then it will conceive inside of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it was not Mary became pregnant. You saw her carrying a womb up and down. But in spiritual reality, you know, Mary was sucked into the womb of God. Praise the Lord. You saw Mary carry the womb and things were acting now. But in the spiritual reality, men walked the earth and saw Mary naked, pregnant, you know. Saw Mary pregnant, walking the face of the earth. But in spiritual reality, Mary was sucked into the womb of God. You know, and then there the process began to happen within. Praise the Lord. It's just like God now. When God, it's only God that has the capacity to sit on his throne and at the same time walking down the earth as a man. Praise the Lord. He sat on his throne, angels are worshipping him. He did not vacate heaven. The same way he has been pre-existing in heaven, that was the same way he was. Right there in heaven and at the same time walking the earth as man. Praise the Lord. Do you get what I'm saying? He sat down on the throne. He's still seated on the throne. And at the same time, at the same time, he was on earth as man walking the earth. So the same way, he said the power of God will circle you. So when Mary was walking, it's just like you taking you and putting you inside Kainji Dam. You know, where the power generating plant, where they generate electricity for Nigeria or all of these foreign nations, the nuclear plant, where they generate the electricity. It's like they carry you and put you inside. Amen. And at the same time, you are walking the earth. That was what happened in the life of Mary. He said the power of the highest to overshadow you. But when Mary was walking there, nobody saw anything. It was the same, it's that same girl that Abby. But look at the process that was. He said the power of God will circle you, you know, will dominate you, will set you aside. And then God was walking inside of her. So she became a factory at that moment. Praise the Lord. But she was still the same normal Mary walking, you know, up and down. So you can see the way God works. So that's why so many times, you know, when we are in the midst of power, when we are in the midst of demonstration, if our eyes are not open, we may not see it. He said, the power of God will overshadow you. You know, and that we should be conceived. Also, all of the time she was pregnant, you know. So if they looked at me, if you can look at Mary from the spirit realm, she was living inside a tube. Praise the Lord. You know, in a tube of power, you know, in a tube of divinity. And that process was happening inside of her, you know. Praise the Lord, God, she was totally set aside. How do you know? Look at, Jesus was giving an example one day he was teaching. He was trying to tell us something. If you see this thing called faith, is so deep. He was teaching something. Now, he said, if you have faith, no, not that one. You know, when he met the fig tree, you know, he was hungry, right? A full tree, he said, everything was green, everything. So, when he got to the tree, he wanted to eat. There was nothing inside. And then he spoke a word. He said, no man eat from you henceforth forever. Abi? He said, no man eat fruit of you henceforth forever. He said, the tree was standing. You know the process how a tree grows. Now, there's photosynthesis. When the sun comes, the tree converts light energy into what? It converts light energy to chemical energy. Then the tree also takes water and a carbon dioxide and turn it to carbohydrate. All of those processes were still intact, right? But because of the spoken word that Jesus spoke, all of those processes ceased. The Bible says the tree began drying from its root. So what actually sustained life on earth? Praise the Lord. Those same chemical reaction and photosynthesis, everything was still going on. But you see, the tree was drying from the root because the tree has been subjected to another government. Has been subjected to another law. Another example, how does tree grow? You know, he said, if you have faith, this one is in John 17. He said, if you have faith, as you can ask this tree to be uprooted and planted into the sea. You know that for a tree to grow, right? You need the soil. You need all of those things. He said, but faith, by faith you speak to this tree. He said, be you uprooted and be you planted into the sea. He said, it will obey you. So the tree will literally be moved from wherever it is. And then it will be planted in the midst of the sea. And all the chemical reaction, the organic process will still be taking place there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, he was trying to, you know, like I keep telling us that most of those things that Jesus did and most of the things that God did is a tutelage. You know, he's trying to teach us, you know, there's another new law. There's another new government. That's why the Bible says, after that faith has come, we are no under the law. Right? Right? You know, talks about the law of faith, you know. Talk about the spoken word. And that's how everything was born in the beginning, Genesis 1. Everything derived their life and their order from the spoken word. And so when Jesus now began to speak, he said, God just spoke, a virgin will conceive, and a virgin will be with child. He just spoke it. And then when Mary came and carried the moment, that was the moment that all eternity has been waiting for. If you look at the journey from the Old Testament, they were journeying to that moment where the Son of God will be born on it. All of them journeyed, all of them prophesied of that hour. Even after Jesus had come and gone, all men that came, Paul, Peter, all of us, we began speaking about that hour, but Mary was the one that carried that moment. What a privilege in eternity. Haggai will prophesy that the desire of nations will come. He said, I bring forth my servant, the branch. You know, my servant, who in his days, the righteous will flourish as a palm tree. Everything that God began speaking from Genesis, everything God spoke about his Son. You know, and even after that was a prophetic era, and then the apostolic era, after the Son has come and gone, everything is the unveiling of the Son. But that moment in time, that moment, Mary was the one that carried that moment. And that was the process how she carried it. Praise the Lord. So there was no greater demonstration than that. But don't forget, if we now wind back to this place where we are, the earth, just the way it is for you and I, and you feel that nothing is happening. Praise the Lord. Means how shall this thing, the power of higher soul, it's not as if there was something on her, you know, pushing her everything. She was still normal. Amen. She was just glad that she was having this kind of order of a woman. Maybe she was just going through the normal 9-month regular process of, things changing inside of her body, you know. But that does not take away the spiritual reality that the power of the highest was over her. And then set her aside. They set Mary aside so that they can walk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this first part, I'm ending it and I'll go to the second part now, which is the 3D plan. I will not explain it much. I'll just say it and then we can go to pray. Now, you see, all things are open and naked within with whom you have to do. So your life is bigger. You know, you look at, don't downgrade yourself. Praise the Lord. Yes, you know, don't downgrade yourself. Don't look down on yourself. Don't use the things of the earth to qualify yourself. Praise the Lord. Don't derive your identity from the earth. That's for the Gentiles, the children of this world. You know, so please and please, I beg us, I beseech us in the name of God. We must engage your spirit, and then you must engage God. All things are open with whom we have to do. God is the one with whom we have to do. Praise the Lord. So the 3D plan, I say, you can never be happy without these three. These three. Number one, what did I say is number one? Number one is union with what? With God. Number two. Yes, number two is man's union with his own kind. Praise the Lord. But before I go into that, please can you help me appreciate Bro Marvin and his wife? How many of us know Bro Marvin? How many of us? Quite a number. Who does not know him? Let me just see our hand. If you don't know Bro Marvin. Okay. She was living in the copper sludge before. She still is having copper. You'll have still met her in the copper sludge. If not that my brother was smart and was fast. Amen. Eh? Okay, you have finished your service. When? April. Congratulations. Okay. Anyway, you still have met her. At least they came in November. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Bro Marvin, you're welcome. Sister Fortune, you're welcome. They got married in November last year. So they were like so many of us here then. Amen. Single. You know, but then they were not searching then. But they're only single. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that by that same grace and that unction, every one of us will find our life mate in Jesus' name. Amen. And will not miss it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll get it right. Because the spirit we have inside of us is the right what? In the right spirit. You can't have the Holy Ghost inside and miss it out in marriage. It's not just possible. Except it's deliberate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not in a rush. I want to lay the foundation of that spirit. He said the Holy Ghost was moving on the face of everything you are seeing. He brought it forth. And that same spirit, God put that same spirit inside to walk with you day by day. To walk with you in the matter of life and destiny. Abba. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's who we have. So I say the 3D plan, if you look at it, when God made man, of course, he said, let us make man in our image. That's union with God, after our likeness. That's why there is no life. There is no life outside of God, right? Are we correct?
Yes, sir.
There is no life outside of God. He said, in the day that you separate from me, the day that you disobey me, that day you are going to die. And, you know, when man ate that something, the death is a journey. Praise the Lord. Death is not an event. It's a journey in the spirit. It's an eternal journey in the spirit. Amen. So the day they ate that fruit, they began that journey. Even the second death. Praise the Lord. It says death is not an event, it's a journey. It's only the physical, the first death is the physical body. The second death is the death of the soul. That one is eternal. You are going to live forever, forever. So death is an endless journey. And the same way life is an endless journey in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God himself is everlasting life. So, union with God. And the second is union with what? With who? Yes, God's three-dimensional plan. Is union with man. That's why even when God was there, Adam had everything he had. Man had everything in the garden. But no, he was not satisfied. Permit me to use the word, he was not satisfied, he was not happy, in quotes. In quotes. And God said, it is not good that this man will be alone. Why? Because God intended man to be a social being. You know, to be an interactive being. So, he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And then God now made, he brought everything. Adam did not find his mate there. And then he brought forth the woman. He brought forth the woman. So, for those of us that think that you can, God alone is enough for you. You have missed it dangerously in life. You know, God alone is enough. They just focus on God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God made, you can never be happy without number two. Or you want to go and reinvent the wheel and go back to the state that Adam was. And God said it is not even good. That time was even a state of sinlessness. Praise the Lord. Yes, it was a state of sinlessness and a state of perfection in quote. And then God said it's not good that the man will be alone. Some people tell us they are single parents, single mother and all of those things. Well, maybe based on what happens, some certain things can happen with you, then you have to cope with life. You know, but the ultimate reality that it is not good for a man to be alone. Praise the Lord. So man, in there, that means union with God. Union with his own kind. Can you see? Union with his own kind. So that means apart from a spouse relationship, children, then even social interaction. That's why God always put us in a forum. He called one man, called him to be a nation, you know, to be a community of people. The word community. When you hear kingdom is a community, you know, it's a communal you know, a communal life. And that's why the kingdom of God will be much more demonstrated and better seen the way men live and relate with one another. Praise the Lord. When we talk about God's kingdom, you know the way the kingdom of God is here. When you begin to see selflessness amongst brethren, when you begin to see, we begin to relate in love, you know, in love and in faith, selflessness, you know, selflessly, yes, selflessly, you know, that's the ultimate demonstration of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. It's not a magical powers, you know. In fact, the ultimate expression of power, when man can come and start relating with man. You know, the Bible says there's a place that the lion will not hurt, the lion and the adder will lie down, all of those things. So, to structure men into a community is not easy. To live together as one. Look at all the nations in the world that are scattered. To bring men together and live together as one. There is no greater task than that. Even two people to live as husband and wife, just two. We know the story. Praise the Lord. We can write volume, just two people. Me and you just live together. Praise the Lord. Just two, husband and wife, you know the rest of the story. All of us know what's happening. Just to bring people to live together. Amen. That work is high. That work is high. When it's kingdom, you know, kingdom, establishing us to live as a community. You know, yes, community. And the kingdom of God is not, there's not going to be any law there. There's only one law there. It's going to be ordered by love. Praise the Lord. Ordered by love. You know, love is supposed to order the kingdom, you know. Order the kingdom where we operate and where we say, that's why I say love take no you know. He said love is the fulfillment of the law Love does no injury to his what? To his brother. So in a society where you just like some of these animals that does not have king, you know, and you see the way they really go improvise, say look at the ants, you know. Yes, then there's still another set of birds again too. You see the geese or something, the way they structure themselves in flight, you know. When one goes, when he's tired, he to retreat, another one will go. There's a way they go, you know. There's no constitution. And yet, those animals are structured into a community. If the love is there, love is higher than any constitution. It is lack of love that brings us to where we are today and everything. Praise the Lord. So, I say union with God, union with his own kind. So, you just imagine a man. No matter, maybe a man is, if God has blessed him so much, God has prospered him so much, and the man is living alone. What kind of life is that one going to be? Is the job with so much abundance and prosperity, the man is alone. There are no relatives. There is no wife, there is no child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's hell part two. That's hell part two. So you can see that union with man, you know, union with his own kind. Then the other one that I really want to talk about a bit is, what did I write? With the work of his hands. So, you know, with God, you know, with man. Then the work of our hands. The work of our hands. You can't be idle in life. When God made man, he gave him a work. Even before he gave him what? He gave him a work or gave him an assignment. There's no way you can be happy. Even if you have everything, your life will be miserable. It will only be a waste. If there is something you are not doing, because God is seen basically in two ways, through his ways and through his work, the work of his hands. You know, the thing that he does. You know, so even you, your identity in life, you see that, you see, the work of our hands, like the body, is like our body, you know. That is, it is through that one that our identity on life will be unveiled. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians, you say, wise workmanship created in who? Wise workmanship. Okay.
For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
We are his workmanship. Right? Okay, go to another scripture. We'll read a couple of scriptures. Go to Matthew. Matthew 16:27.
For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works.
Okay, then Isaiah 40 verse 10. Then somebody else will open to Isaiah 40:10, Revelation 21 verse 12.
Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Okay. What is with him?
Reward
is with him. What is before him? His work is before him, but his reward is with him. You see the same thing in Revelation 20, 21 verse 12. Please help us to read it.
Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
22 verse 12. It's Revelation 22. Who is there? Okay.
Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done.
Okay, what is that reward? Tony, what is that reward? What is that reward? He said my work is with me, alright? And then my reward, to cut a long story short, is it that your reward is your eternal identity in God? It's not as if they're going to give you a piece of land in heaven. Praise the Lord. Or maybe they give you Banana Island to come and you will be living in Banana Island, while some of us are believing in Akure Island in Lagos. He said, my reward is with you as your eternal identity. You see, all men that walked with God, you see, you hear about Abraham, you hear about all of those things. The means through which they got their identity is God, is through the works of their hands. The things that God called them and created them to do. You know? So, can you see? So, when Jesus said, I go to the Father and the way you know. So, life is not just, you just live and then things just happen to you by chance or something. Or maybe line just fall to you in pleasant places, in quotes, you know, like that. You see, you have an idea, you have a body, you know. That's why I say your work, that's like your body on earth, you know. That's why when you begin, when the body, everybody's deep body is different. When I was born, when you were born, we're all born alike, we look alike, our bodies look alike, small like this. But when it begins to develop, it develops into different identity, into different unique individual. Praise the Lord. So that's why no two people are alike. And that's the same way it is. So even God himself is revealed through his what? Through his works. His work and his ways. Those are the things we look at. Even Jesus himself, when he came, you know, through his work, he said, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. All of those, even the identity that he got in heaven, even if you go to the book of Revelation, Jesus became the Lamb of God forever. Praise the Lord. But where did he get that identity? Where did he get it? Okay, that's why I put the third one. You can't be happy. He can just come and put his hand on his pocket. He's Jesus, the Son of God, and he doesn't have any sin. And he's just roaming about and loafing about. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has not lived. You have a destiny. You have a life. You have certain things that God has assigned for you to do. He said you are his workmanship. You are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Unto what? Unto what? Ephesians 2. To Ephesians 2:10. Read it, open your Bible. He said, unto what? Unto good works. Unto good works. So there is no way you are going to be happy even without this. That sense of joy or fulfillment is not. So you can be now, get me well. Union with God is that one is there. Union with your fellow man, and then these two they will find expression, you know, they will find unveiling. Through what? Through the works of your hands. That's why in Genesis 2, that's why all these things is in Genesis 1 and 2. You see, God created man, gave him an assignment. Then he also gave him, you know, another of his own kind to relate to. So you know with God, you know. So for those of us that think God is enough, you don't need your neighbor, you don't need people. That one is strong delusion. Then those of us that... union with God is there. Union with man is there. There's no way you can even have a correct union with God that it a correct union. This one is intact. That it will not reflect in the three. Praise the Lord. Because if you have correct union with God, it's, you know, the life of God is one. It will reflect in all three. Then union with man. Don't joke with it. You see this one? You see how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, there the Lord commands the blessing. There are certain things you will not get until you are united with man. How many of us want to have children and you want to be like Mary? You don't go and look for a man as a woman. Or you don't go and look for a woman as a man and you want to have a child. You can't get it. You can't. Because you must be joined to another man. You must be union with your own kind. Then you can begin to have children. So there are so many blessings that are attached to us, you know, to union with our own kind. A lot. It's covenant. It's covenant. Union with our own kind. So if you have learned how to relate with God and you have not learned how to relate with man, praise the Lord, you struggle in your journey on it. Jesus said, ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, what? To love the God with, to love the Lord your God with what? What is the second one? He said the second is like unto it. He said you know with God and you know with your own kind. Even God went as far as saying that I can reject you based on you know with your kind. If you are not truly, properly connected with your own kind, I can reject you. I hope you remember Matthew 25. He said in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and in his kingdom, he said shall divide the people, right? He said the sheep and the goats. And he said you enter into everlasting life and you enter into eternal damnation. And what was the reason he gave? I am going to judge the template for judgment. God's template for judgment is going to be based on union with your own kind. He said, I was hungry, you did not visit me. I was in prison. He said, when did we do it to you? So they were already thinking about God. And these are people that forgot, they forgot their own kind. He said, when did we do this unto you? When? He said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of this person, you have done it to whom? You have done it unto me. And that's why sometimes we don't see the power of God, we don't see blessing. Because you see, this is our tongue, right? Because this is our tongue. The way we use it in this second level of relationship, you know, with man. We are too quick to start insulting anybody, even the people that are bad. Praise the Lord. He said, I read something this week. He said, whenever you stand praying, Jesus was teaching them, when he taught them about power, he said, whatsoever you desire, he said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you have it. You know, he was teaching about prayer, receiving from God that, he said, you know, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you get it. Then he now said something under. Immediately after that, he said something under. He went to this second relationship. No, the first one you have asked God. You have spoken, you have asked God. Then in our way, he said, whenever you stand praying, he said, if you have what? Anything, please underline that word. He said, if you have anything against I put my recorder in the pocket. He said, if you have anything against your brother, but I want to put the translation out there. He said, if you have anything against any man, what? Anything against whom? Anything against any man. You know, we are so quick to start lashing out on people. You know, people who don't even know, have not met before. Praise the Lord. Like that, and all of this. He said, if you have anything against any man, say, drop it from your heart. And when I read that, when I read it meditatively and I was praying, and I start scanning my heart, you know, praise the Lord. And I start thinking, you know, some of those bad leaders you hate. You know, as well as those of us that are going to global politics, you read so much about them, you know. Anytime you hear certain names, the way you talk with annoyance and anger. Amen. Praise the Lord. Personally, like when I hear the name Barack Obama. Amen. Praise the Lord. That did all the gay and transgender law. I have nothing so much good to say about it. So, but, you know, I had to come back and say, if you have anything against who? Anything against who? Any man. So, you know, you need to scan your heart and do that. That's just an example I give us. You know, when you taught them how to pray and receiving. And so many times, those are certain things that puncture us from receiving. It's a union with our own kind. It has stopped a lot of people. Some people have even become barren. You remember the story of Micah? Is it Micah? Is it what's her name? Is it Micah, that Saul's daughter that was barren all her days? Why was she barren? Because of what transpired between her and the husband, right? Right? What transpired between her and these are eternal principles. And up to today, a lot of people are still barren. A lot of people are still barren. And prayer, like Micah, now, let me see how kind of prayer she go and pray. Likely she did not come back. You know, God is the God of mercy, and at the instance of repentance, he can let go. Likely she did not even go back to beg. to make, and then David will intercede and pray for her on something. May not have gone out, but it happens. There are sometimes the way we have used this tongue, and that stops certain blessings from coming. Certain things. You do all the spiritual exercises, it's not coming forth. So, what did I say? Union with who? Yes, union with our kind. God created man to be a social being. And I say kingdom life is a communal life. So, you must be properly joined to your fellow men. For you to receive anything from the head, you must be part of the body, right? Even the body of Christ. That's why you see that the church, there's no power. There's no power. It's not because Satan is powerful. In fact, it's not even because Satan is 1 inch of a power to stop or to hinder the church. We are powerless to the extent to which we are divided amongst ourselves. You see, for the finger must be, for a finger to receive from the head, it must be joined to what? It must still be joined to the body. Can you see? This is how God has composed it. And he said, we are members of Christ. So sometimes you think you can just go. You have access to God. He said, all of us can just go access to Christ. And then, no, there are even some revelation you will not get. You know, some depth of spiritual depth that you will not attain. Or you will not touch until you are rightly connected to the body of Christ. You are properly joined to the body. It's just like the foot. The foot is joined to the other part of the body. Any part of your body is joined to the other part of your body. And then you can receive from the head. You see how good and present it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, right? It's like the oil that flows from the head. And then they circle through the whole body. Now, what if you detach one of your hands? Or detach one of your legs? Will he get there? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:16. Are you there, Abby?
Yes.
Okay.
From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Can you see the building is in what? In love, right? And each supporting part joins together. Then the body can now grow as a one single unit. If you go to Ephesians, if you go to Colossians, you see the same thing there. So I've said that union with God, union with your kind, our own what? Kind. You know, we are so quick. That's why, you know, it's so easy for Satan to scatter any work. He just makes us divided among ourselves. That's it. If you want to just get anything done, that's why anytime men come to associate, you see there are all kinds of problems. Even within God's house, he said, okay, all of us are in drama unit. Before you know it, giddy Christ, one person has said this and that, I don't like the way. Before you know it, there is a heated this thing, you know. Those are the things that stops us from revealing and unveiling this thing. You understand? So those are the things we will stop our night vigils. You stop, you know, the impact that our prayers should ordinarily have because of what? You just throw disorder amongst us. Disorder amongst us. Small things. So, and that's why the same thing happens between a husband and wife, you know. Between husband and wife. Before you know, you just create that kind of that atmosphere that just turns the whole environment. Issues, you know, trivial things that will be amplified, you know, become like mountains. You know, making mountains out of molehill. He knows that that is the way to stop us. Because it is under that atmosphere of unity, that proper alignment, that the blessing and the power of God can begin to flow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we together? Are we together? So I want us to leave this place to go union with God, then union with your own kind. Prioritize it. Anything you need to sacrifice, the Bible says, if I live at peace with all men, if it's possible. If you want to know whether Paul is really an apostle, go and read it's a work in the Corinthian church. They insulted him. A lot of times they distrusted him. But he said, my heart is open, but your heart is not open. You know, he kept enlarging his heart. He kept enlarging his heart. He kept enlarging his heart. And that is the same calling that we have. You must enlarge your heart. Sometimes say, you get to your limit, I can't take this, I can't do that, and all of those things. You begin to draw red lines. You know, he said, where sin abound? What happens? He said, grace what? Grace much more abound. We must keep enlarging our heart. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there. Don't forget where we started from. The same Spirit in Genesis 1:2 is the same Spirit that is inside of us. That is right inside. So our capacities are endless. The power we have within does not have limits. In every reflection of life, even both in relating with God or relating with man, all the works of our hand, the things that God has placed in our hands to do. I gave you an example of Abraham, all of those things that God called him, departed. It was through all of those things that Abraham acquired his identity on earth. And then he became the father of faith. Then they called Jesus the son of David because all of the things that David did, you know, the Bible talks about the throne of David, you know, that the Lord God will give you the throne of your father David. And I told you that David acquired that throne while he was on earth by his walk with God on earth. And that's how David possessed that throne in the spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are, can you see? So life is bigger, far, far bigger than the things we can feel and the things that we can touch. The things that we can touch. You have an assignment, no matter how little it is, it has an eternal impact. Mary was to give birth to the Son, was to give birth to Jesus. Amen. She preserved her virginity, she preserved her purity, and then when the time comes, and not because she was without sin. Praise the Lord. Not because Mary was without sin, you know. So, you know, she was virgin, you know, and to some extent she was chaste. And then she was chosen as the chosen one to give birth to Jesus and all of those things. She did that, you know, and also acquire her own her eternal identity in the spirit realm. So the same thing with you and I. We cannot just fold your hands. You cannot. The Holy Ghost will begin to move you. Don't forget, I say the Spirit of God is inside. You, and when the Holy Ghost is moving you, it starts moving you in these things that are so small. And sometimes they could be so insignificant in the natural that you don't see it. Don't forget the example I give you. Mary was circled with power, but nobody saw it. Nobody on earth saw it. Even herself, she may should not even be conscious of it. She knows she had an encounter with an angel, she is pregnant. But what the covering that was on her, she couldn't see it. Until you step into the realm of the Spirit. You know, and the same thing with us. So many times, a lot of things that is upon us, a lot of things that the Holy Ghost will be moving us, if you want to evaluate it in the natural, you miss it. Even Abraham, if you want to calculate Abraham in the natural, just look at Abraham. Now, you have the benefit of, is it hindsight, Abby? How do they call it? The benefit of looking back, you can look back on the life of Abraham. But when Abraham was on earth, he was just a normal man that was here. Depart from your country, he was taking all those rigmarole. You know, journey at a point, he said, God, give me an inheritance. I don't have a child, I go shyly. But look at who Abraham is in the hands of God. Look at who he is now. So that's the same way our life is. So I want you to believe in the things that is inside. I want you to believe in, you know, the things that God is doing around us. These things are not small. You may look at it and may not see anything. That's the point. That's the point I want to drive hard. And I want to hit hard. He said, the things you call the little things in quotes, can we do it with the whole of your heart? And then can you continue to keep doing it? I got to where I'm standing today in God by having faith in the little things. What did I say? Faith in what? By having faith in what? By having faith, you know, in the little things. The things you call the little things. You just kept doing them. You kept doing them. Then God will now begin to lead you to the next phase of your life and the next phase of your destiny. You can be walking with God and not assess your destiny. It's possible. Because you must leave a phase to a phase. You cannot go to university without passing your jam. Is it jam or white now? Right? Or you cannot even leave for a GSS 2 to GSS 3 without passing the promotion exams. So that's the same thing it is with this. So many times, you know, our lives can be static while we're still there floating in God. You know, you are always somewhere in God. Don't forget. You are always somewhere in God. But you may not be moving and assessing your life and assessing your destiny if you are not what? You know, if you are not working on the same frequency with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit that is inside. Abraham will not become the father of faith. If they say, Abraham, depart from your country to the land I will show you. If he did not take that first journey, is he going to get to the place where they will tell him to sacrifice Isaac? Is he going to get there? Will he get there? He will not get there. He said, you know, you will not even get to the place, he said, depart from Lot. Because he never left in the first place. He could still remain in that land singing Amazing Grace. Yes, I'm doing concerts, you know. I'm mobilizing people, I'm doing programs. So many times we hide under programs. Yes, now, all of us do. We hide under programs. We hide under programs and then refuse to work with God. We thinking that maybe doing program and doing activity equated to working with God. It could be part of it. As God gives you instruction, praise the Lord, it will be part of the joint, but you cannot leave the substance and hold on to the form. Yes, now. All of us can do ministry now. Okay, I'm into ministry and all of a lot of people are doing ministry and are not working with God. Genuinely doing ministry. Dream is just generate activities. Let's go for we'll do prayer meeting, we'll do this conference now, you know. This and that, do this, and then you are not working with God. Because when you are going to work with God, your life will begin to unveil. Your eternal destiny will begin to open up. Praise the Lord. And that's what you saw in the life of Jesus. Who he is as the Lamb of God began unveiling and opening up. The child that was called Jesus at the age of 23. What if he had gone per se, if he had been caught up in fornication, what would happen? What do you think would have happened? Will he have gone on to become the Lamb of God? You know, so can you see it's an unveiling, it's an opening. That's why I call it a walk, you know. So what is it? They say, what am I going to do? It's not different from your life. That is your life. In those things, your life will unveil and your life will open up. Open up. David, the calling that was upon David that is going to be a king and he was going to govern Israel. David had no any other life on earth apart from that. So in yielding and submitting to the Holy Spirit, that same spirit in Genesis 1:2, even before the earth was created, you know, in yielding and walking with that same spirit, his life will begin to unveil and open up. That's why I say that you cannot be happy without the things that God has called you to do. Your life will still be miserable. Some of us say, you know, we go purported, you know, with man, you know, we just join with ourselves and forget about God. It's all about us. It's beyond that. There are certain things, you know, there are certain, these things are in your spirit. Then God will open your spirit, you start opening or you start unveiling. The meeting we meet, this place is a living example. Now, just I want you to imagine David. I had not, you know, there were stages I did not pass, or I did not do, I don't, you know, it's not for me to evaluate myself in the spirit, but there are things I have gotten right, and there are things that I have done that had, you know, brought for this next phase of our lives that all of us are seated here in the hall of Tyrannus and listening. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if I had not had those dimension of work, you know, if I had not had those dimension of work with the Holy Spirit, we will not be here today. So if I had jumped classes in the Spirit, we will not be here today. Praise the Lord. Because I will still be somewhere dragging it, and you know, you see, I say at every particular point you will always be somewhere in the mystery of God. You will always be somewhere in God as long as you are a child. But you may not be in the place of power and in the place of destiny and in the place of fulfillment and ultimate satisfaction if you are not walking with the eternal spirit, you know, and passing through all the stages as he's taking you through. I could have ended up being who I am, right? I have my book, you know, I have a work. I can bury my head in my work. Amen. And as God is blessing me in that work and prospering me, life is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I go on vacation here and there, you know, come and give you testimony. You know, and testimony, and then they'll be looking at me from heaven, the kind of impact I should be making on earth, and then the mediocrity I'm celebrating on earth. That's exactly what I'm trying to communicate to us. Communicate to us. At any point, you'll be somewhere, you are still in God. But I want to ask, so where are you standing in God? Because there are places in God. There are places in God. So where are you standing in Him? Where? Where? Praise the Lord. So that is... So when you hear the work of our hand, it's not something you just do. That is your life. And in those medium, your life will begin to unveil. You know, that is those medium that your life will begin to take shape. It is true that this thing is called the work of our hands, you know, that your life, you begin to take your identity, who you are in God, your eternal identity in God. That's why I say my work is before me, and then my reward is with me. So for you to meet God, this is it. You meet, what do you meet first? You meet the work, right? From the work you get what? The reward. And I said, what did I say is the reward? Your reward is your eternal identity in God. Who you become in, you know? Yes. In God eternally. He said, my work is with me, is before me, and my reward is with me. So all of those men in the Bible, you can begin to name them. Who Elijah became eternally? Elijah. Who Abraham became eternal? All of us are born empty. We start from a clean slate. Yes, you're going to start the same way Abraham started. You're going to start the same way David started. You're going to start the same way Samuel started. But what those men did, how they responded to the eternal spirit, that same spirit in Genesis 1-2, how they responded, that's how they got their identity in God. Even Moses, you're going to start the same way Moses started, because he responded to God. You see, this thing called the work of... So you can't be idle. You can't be a spiritual playboy. Praise the Lord. Yes, where will Mary go round? We dance round and not do the work. And then doing the work is allowing the Holy Ghost, you know, the things that God has deposited inside of us to begin to open up and unveil them out. And it begins, for those of you that are still students, it begins with your roommates. Those unveiling. Those of you that are still living in Copper Lodge, it begins there. Your eternal identity, who you'll be forever and ever after you leave this earth. It's all part of it. Praise the Lord. And then those of us that are married, you see the things that happen in your marriage will give you your eternal garment. Who you are eternally forever. So these things are deep and these things are profound. You don't joke with them. When you toy with them, you are toying with your life. You are toying with your life. So the thing you see, then those of us that are still living in your parents are like, this is our uncle here, Uncle Rotimi, you know. So the thing that transpire in that home, all those things are part of your eternal destiny. Because it was not accidental that you have the mother that you have. It's not accidental that you have the father that you have. There's what we call the foreknowledge of God. There's what we call the eternal predestination in God. Your family background. It's not accidental that you are born in Nigeria, that you are in Nigeria. So can you see all of these things, your rest, how you respond to the myriad and multitude of all of these things around you will give you an eternal garment, you know, even in the age to come. In the age to come. Praise the Lord. So these are some of the things. So how are you going to respond? Cutting across these three relationships. Your relationship with God, your union with your fellow man, your union with your own kind, and then the works of our hands. And I know I've taught us here several. If you are living in a home, you must humble yourself and stay in that home. You cannot be living in a home and be bigger than that home. Yes, you can. You are a big boy or a big madam in that home. You cannot lift up your finger and do anything in that home. When Jesus found himself to be a man, the Bible says he humbled himself and he stayed a man. When he found himself as a man, he was not living like an angel. When he saw himself as a man, he humbled himself and he lived a man. So anywhere God has placed you, you are a student, you are in that school, you humble yourself and live the life of that school. And walk through that path, you know. So you must not jump outside of your skin. So can you see, I'm trying to break it practical. You see, what called the work of our hands. Before you now start thinking about one big thing, you are going to do something big. And no, I say the little things sometimes that we don't see. And in those things are the fullness of our life and our destiny. Destiny. God just sent somebody your way. He just sent somebody away. One day, one man, Elisha was, what was he doing, sir? He was farming his farming equipment and his farming tool. Then there was another man that was coming and carried his garment, right? Right? And threw it on him. And Elisha was a wise man. He said he ran up and started following him. What if he did not stand up? And they threw that garment on him. He threw it out again. No shaking. No shaking. just look at it. Immediately he stood up and he began following Elisha. And in following Elijah, then we now have who we call what? Elisha. Simple. Can you see? Can you see? So can you see the practicality of it? Of it all? These are the specificity of how some people attain destiny and how some people do not attain destiny. I say you must always, anywhere you are, you must live with, you know, you must humble yourself and leave that stage, you know. And live at that stage and that, and you cannot say, okay, by now, if not for this, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. Where you are, can you humble yourself to that place? You know? Praise the Lord. Can you just come down? You are thinking of carrying a greater anointing and you cannot even put your head down before your parents. You know, or before your guardian. Where are you going? You are not going anywhere. You're only taking a stroll. You're only taking a walk. Praise the Lord. But when it comes to the matter of life and destiny, you are not journeying. You are not journeying. He said, if you cannot love God, if you cannot love your fellow man whom you have seen, how can you say what? Can you see how significant this number two is? Then if you cannot submit to man, how can you say you can submit to God? If you cannot serve man, how can you say you can serve who? God. Can you see? This is the total approach I used to life. That's the time God I'm married, you know. I'm married, and this is the total approach I use in my marriage. I have trained myself to see beyond my wife in my marriage. I'm not just relating with her, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm just relating with her, you know, but I'm also relating with God inside of her. There's a drama that is playing on. That's the context of marriage. That will give you strength. That will give you strength and equipping to live beyond any challenges that will come. Definitely challenges will come. I'm not just talking about marital challenges or even your world secular challenges, you know, because the promise that God made is the promise that he was given to overcomers. Overcomers because you are going to have challenges. When those challenges is going to come, where are you going to draw strength from? If you have not been tutored, you know, and if you have not been trained to see beyond men and then to see beyond the earth and see beyond life to see God. Praise the Lord. I told you guys several times, during those times, we had those interactive session, and it was in this hall, this same place. I was praying here alone one day, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, your wife is my eternal covenant to you. That word is big. He said, your wife. Eh? So you are not just relating with a woman that you want to just feel good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? Sister Fortune, why are you turning your face like this? When I say, you're not relating to a woman that you just want to feel good with her, you know? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know? So, it's not just a woman. He said, it's my eternal covenant to you. So if you desecrate her, you desecrate my covenant. Simple. I don't need a second word outside of that. Amen. The only thing I need to do is say, I start pressing into that word. Praise the Lord. I start pressing into that word. So it is just beyond relating with a woman. You know, some people felt they were relating with ordinary men. They didn't know that they were relating with God. He said, I was in prison. He did not visit me, right? They saw men, but they did not see God, right? They saw a man hungry. And they did not see God, what? Hungry. He said, I was hungry and he did not feed me, right? They saw a man hungry, but they did not see God hungry, right? So that's what I am saying. So for those of all, Lord, I live with your sister. If you are wise, you will serve her with the whole of your heart. Praise the Lord. If she asks you to serve her 36 hours in 24 hours, all you simply need to do is to ask God for grace and for what? Strength. And don't forget that the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. That's why we don't have excuse. So if somebody asks you to go 36 hours in 24 hours, praise the Lord, then the spirit of miracle inside of you, the Holy Ghost will stretch 24 hours into 36 hours. That's what I'm saying. He said, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go with them how many miles? He said, go with 2 miles. You know why he's telling you? Because the eternal one is inside the Holy Spirit. A lot of us don't understand who the Holy Ghost is. We think that the Holy Ghost is there and you can speak in tongues. That's all. You are so, they are even supposed to give you a word for speaking in tongues. Yes, now. That the Holy Ghost is there. I know I speak in tongues. Hey, Makatata, before they even say, let us pray, you start firing the bullets. Amen. The Holy Ghost is beyond that. Do you know when you stand before God, you are not going to present God to God. You are going to present the works of your hands. When you stand before God, oh, the white throne judgment. When we are going to, after life is gone, after everything is ended, when you are going to stand and appear before God, you are going to present what? What are you going to present before God? I'm not going to carry my child, my boy there, you know. Yes, that's one of my achievements on earth. Now look at my boy, you know. Maybe he has even grown taller than me like this young man is. So when I'm going, I'm going to present my work to the Father. I carry on, line up your children, you know. No, praise the Lord. Because they also will be standing separately, amen. And the only thing you can line up before God is the works of our hands. And I say in that works of our hand, we're going to get our eternal state. How who you are going to be forever and how you are going to live forever is going to be determined by the work. W-O-R-K. And the Holy Ghost said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has ordained that we should do in them. He said, you have not chosen me. That's John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know? I have chosen you and ordained you that you should what? You should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, should abide. You know, then he did not stop. He said, that, he said, whatsoever you may ask the Father in my name, he will give you. One of the ways to get answers to prayer is this one. No? If you are doing the, he said, Jesus said, my Father here because I do the things that please him always. Can you see? Yeah. Part of the reason why his prayer got answered, not just because he was the martial Jesus from heaven. He said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. You know? And I do the, he said, I do the thing that pleases you always. You know? And that's part of the reason he has answers to prayer. Then there's one that says, if we ask anything from you, we'll receive it. You know, because we do the, that 1 John 5. Let me read it for you. No, 1 John 5. He said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Have you seen it? 1 John chapter 5. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. There's a portion of the scripture, I can't remember now, but it's there, it's in your Bible. Because we do those things, eh? Yeah, no, I've quoted that one. He said, was because I do those things always that pleases him. I don't know, it's there, but it's in the, it's part of the scripture. So, he said, I thank you because you hear me always. So, part of the reason is because of what? He said, the work that the Father has given me to do, I must complete them. Right? Right, Jesus. Thank you because you hear me always. There's another one that says, because you do those things that always pleases him. But let's, anyway, it's there in the Bible. Praise the Lord. And as you study your Bible, you see it. So, but by and by. Have you seen that John 15:16? That I have chosen you. And I ordain. Can you see ordination? Ordination to bring forth fruit. He said, I ordained you that you bring forth fruit. And then your fruit will remain. And then when you are beginning to walk in that order, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. Praise the Lord. Have you seen it? John 15:16. Have you seen it? You've seen it? Femi, please help us to read it.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Praise the Lord. So that's another fruitfulness, you know, fruitful. And then don't forget, last I'll say this, we'll start praying now. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let them have dominion, and then God bless them. And he said, be what? Be fruitful and what? He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, I ordain you to should go and bear fruit, and then that your fruit should what? You should remain. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray. Can you begin to talk to the Lord? I've shown us the, can call it the love triangle, you know, the love triangle. God is Trinity, three in one. Even the life of man is broken into three, apart from his spirit, soul and body. I'm talking about even relational, three-way relationship, union with God, union with man, then the works of our hands. When you take ownership for it, it's not just work, it's your life, it's the unveiling of your life, the works of our hands. The works of our hands. He said, I must do the works of him. That works that Jesus was talking about was the unveiling of his identity as the Lamb of God. I want to go to the book of Revelation. We saw it there. The Lamb of God. Jesus acquired that image. Jesus acquired that identity on earth. Earth is a forum. Earth is a forum where we acquire images. Acquire eternal identity where we break forth into our life, into our calling. Thank you. Every man start from ground zero and then they rise into their calling, into their purpose. And I say everything is insignificant. Everything is involved. Everything is involved. From your father, the father that you have, the mother that you have, your siblings, your roommate, the people you are living with. Everyone is involved. Those are the little things we don't see. Things that pertain unto life and to godliness. We have people serving God today and they cannot see God within the context of their marriage. They can't see God within the context, within the framework of marriage. Even the spouse that you have, sometimes we think it's accidental, it's not accidental. Because we are redeemer, we say Jesus is a redeemer. Jesus is a savior. We are saviors. The Bible says saviors who arrive out of Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau. He says saviors. He said upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and the people of God who possess their possession. And the next verse says saviors who arise out of Mount Zion. We are saviors. We are saviors. Thank you. We are here to perpetuate the work of the savior. To perpetuate the work of the Redeemer. Don't forget, the last meeting we talked about man is part of the creative process. Yes, both the work of creation, even the redemptive process, while part of the redemptive process, part of the redemptive process, we must not lose focus of it. Thank you. Life is very, very significant. Life is big. God is the one with whom we have to do. And the spirit that we have within is the spirit that is inside God. I don't know if we really get it. The spirit that is inside, that is within you, is the same spirit that is inside God. Are we aware? Are we aware? Before we are giving excuses, sometimes we are not even patient. We can't be patient. We can't tolerate. We can't tolerate. When God is the patient one, that the same spirit that is inside God is the same spirit that is within us. That is within me. Can you personalize it? Can you begin to see life in that context? Context. Then before you know, you begin to draw strength. Before you know, you can begin to see that you are strong. There is nothing you cannot take. There is nothing you cannot swallow in life because there is nothing God cannot swallow. Because there is nothing God cannot take. He said, where sin abound, grace much more what? Abound. For instance, you have a roommate. No matter how bad that roommate is, Nathaniel, are you hearing me? He said you have the grace inside of you is stronger than what that roommate is. Simple. He said, where sin abound, grace much more abound. He said, no matter how bad that your roommate can be, he said, what is inside of you is higher than who that person is. So, you now cannot allow that person to not stop you in your journey to destiny. You now start fighting this person in his own strength. You understand? If you do tit and tat, you do tit and tat. When the Bible says, overcome evil with what? Overcome evil with good. If people are saying, a lot of you are young men, can you take this mind to marriage? Can you approach the marriage covenant with this mind? There is nothing more again that will determine who you are, especially those of us that get married. You know, than your like your marriage covenant. Covenant. It's a totally playing field where you demonstrate who God is. Where you demonstrate who God is. There's no opportunity like marriage. Outside of maybe some calling, some things that God will have you to do. And all of those things, you know. No matter the state of the union. No matter, can you wear the garment of the Savior, the garment of the Redeemer? He says, Savior shall come up on Mount Zion. And then they will judge the Mount of Esau. He says, Saviors. So it's not only Jesus that is Savior. It's not only Jesus that is Savior. We are part of the redemptive process. Last meeting, we said we are part of the creative process. Man is part of the creative process. Now, redeemed soul are part of the redemptive process and the redemptive journey. You saw it, Peter demonstrated it. Paul, all of them have demonstrated it. And we too, we are here to demonstrate the same thing. Father, we thank you. So life is not all about you. You are secondary. God is first. God is for projecting God on earth. Projecting God before men and before people is number one. Is number one. And in the process of doing it, God might sacrifice you. In the course of Jesus projecting who the Father is, he was sacrificed. He was killed. Jesus himself was killed to project who God is. And not only him, a lot, the likes of Paul, a lot have even gone to the extreme of losing their physical life. And then some people have lost their, maybe sacrificed their identity, sacrificed their taste, their comfort, pleasure, have gone a lot of dangerous sacrifice for us to be here. Even the Bible you carry, men sacrifice their life. Men shed their blood for you to carry the Bible and hold it in your hands. The likes of William Tunde, the likes of John Hus. These are men that sacrificed their life. We are standing on the altar of sacrifice. And how come we don't want to sacrifice? I'm not talking about thinking about giving money. We're not talking about sacrifice, not giving money. How come we don't want to sacrifice a little patience, a little bit of tolerance? These are sacrifices. Tolerance. These are sacrifices. A little bit of patience. These are sacrifices. You make having God in mind. To project who God is. Project who God is. I know of a brother when we were in the university. His roommate was a Muslim. After he has abused and insulted and maltreated his brother. This brother didn't reply. Didn't know anything. You know, he was just living who he is in God. He just keep demonstrating God. That's a very rough. We all know him. Rough brother. That brother came and said he wants to be a Christian. We witnessed it in the university before we left. But it took one man relating appropriately. Sometimes we don't have patience. Sometimes you need to do it for 20 years. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God is a patient one. God told Abraham, I'm going to wait for 430 years. After 430 years of waiting, then I will arise. God waited in the days of Abraham for 430 years. So your descendants, they're going to be a slave. They're going to be servant. But I will wait. And here, 2 days self, we cannot wait. If we wait for 3 days, we think we have done God a great deal. You know? We have overdone, even for sometimes patience of 2 days. Patient one. You need a lot of patience. You need a lot of patience. You know, I quoted one scripture just now. He said, you know, the king that God spoke to was a very wicked king, an evil king in Israel. God met him there, ask of me a sign, King Ahaz. Ahaz. Ask me a sign. He said, no, I will not ask you a sign. Neither will I tempt you. That's Isaiah 7. He's King Ahaz. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a sign. Do you know the distance between that time and when the sign came? King Ahaz became a king 732 BC before the coming of Christ. It was 732 years later that the sign came. God is a patient one. He was telling the king, okay, I'm going to show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall give birth. That king ruled in Israel from 732 BC to 716 BC. Then Jesus Christ came how many years later? Over 700 years later. He said, I will give you a sign. This is the one we are talking about, God. This is the same God that we want to work with. Amen. It's the same spirit or that same God, that same spirit that is inside of us. And then we cannot endure for 2 hours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Cannot endure. Sometimes we cannot endure for 20 years. 20 years. 20 years. Can you begin to appreciate him and thank him? Some of us even live in a home. You live with your parents, this or your all this and that. Before you are already impatient, you want to fly and run out. Maybe when it might not be time and season for you to leave. Of course, when it's time and season for you to leave, you can leave. But when it's not time, you are already impatient because you cannot take it anymore. That's why one man of God, one woman of God, made a very wrong statement. He said, I cannot go to where I'm tolerated. Tolerated. I only go to where I'm celebrated. You know? Make a very wrong statement. Can you just appreciate him and thank him? And you just bless him? Bless him and just thank him. The 3D plan. Union with God. Union with man. And then union with the works of our hands. In those things, our lives have been unveiled. Our eternal destiny has been unveiled. Can you begin to bless him? Can you begin to talk to your father? Please tell them to come and pray. We are rounding up. I think. Can you begin to appreciate him? Can you begin to pray? Apart from my sister that is pregnant, please can we just stand up, just pray in the next few minutes. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to appropriate? You see, there's something about atmosphere. You see, anytime God comes, there are certain specific things he wants to do. There are certain specific things. Can you just begin to align yourself with it in the spirit? Even if your mind cannot grasp it completely, can you just align your spirit? Thank you, our Father. Give you praise and glory. Can you just pray, talk to your Father? Just talk to him.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Ask him tonight to put a nation on your heart.